Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 with the Southwest Texans starts right now.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. I'm your host, the Southwest Texan Day Day Cruz, and we're coming to you live from Open Talk Radio, The Flash 313. This week, people, we're going to actually have a great guest this week, and his name is John Gray. He's a GCW referee, and we'll be having him on around 7:30-ish. But also tonight, we're going to actually do a recap of the show that was an unclosed location brought to you by Horror Slam, which we're going to have a recap of that, man. That show was actually great. It was actually not undisclosed now. It was actually from my backyard, and it was much fun. We had great people there. We had almost 100 people there. And the wrestlers poured their heart out, man, for all the fans. And what can I say? That's all they do every time, any wrestler, because all they do is leave their heart in the ring. And Martez, I wish you were there, man. How's it going, brother?
Yeah, man, it's going good, man. I wish I was there, man. Honestly, man, sometimes I get tied up and I just can't make things. And that's the part I hate about what I do. You know, I get tied up at a job and I just couldn't break free. So I'm sorry I couldn't make it, man. But it looked like you guys had a good time, man.
Oh, yeah. I actually got to do a lifelong dream of mine and actually chug some beers like Stone Cold in the ring with all my friends and my family.
Yeah, man.
I did. I sent you the clip, didn't I?
Yeah, yep. That was sweet.
Yeah, man, it was just a great time. Like I said, I wish you were there, man, to drink some beers, man. We had all the wrestlers, man. We actually, it's not even friends. We're actually a big family, man, because once you get into, like everybody says in documentaries, man, once you get into the wrestling business, man, it's like a family. It's like a mafia. Once you're in, there's no out.
I agree.
And it's true, man. Because, man, these wrestlers, man, we had fun, and Rachel Green's going to be back on tonight in actually in about 7 minutes. She's going to actually talk about the show that passed on Saturday, and then she's going to talk about the show and what we're doing this – or what they're doing this time with the show and what it's going to represent. And it's actually for a great cause, and I already told you, kayfabe, but – you know, it's just going to be great, man. It's gonna be for a great cause, man. And it couldn't horse, man. It's just great. But, I'm going to get into it, man. I had some footage done by my brother Greg. He was there. He did a little bit of commentary on it. So look out for that on my YouTube channel, Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313, guys. Again, Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313 on YouTube. Like, share, and subscribe, you guys. We got a lot of footage from Horseman before they teamed up with Smart Mark. I actually got interviews with the third generation wrestler, MM3, Malcolm Monroe III, and the Great Monroe Dynasty, man, they're from Michigan. They man, represent wrestling hard. And actually, I had Lance in Hawaii. I had a whole bunch of people. I had Man Pondo, the deathmatch extremist, and he's been in the game for almost 30 years plus years. He was in the wrestling game before I was 2 or 3 years old, before I was even in, doing my thing. But yeah, Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313 on YouTube. But Martez, man, hopefully you can make one of these shows one of these days, man. I would love to have you there, man. It would be great.
Yeah, I hate to say I'm gonna do something and I don't do it, man. But that's
no,
I'm gonna
no,
make
definitely
it.
No. But you know, people got lives. You know, I can't stop it from your brother and your brother to eat. You know what I mean?
Right.
We gotta connect them.
Yeah, thank you, brother. We do have a caller, and we have Rachel. She's she's tapped in too. So it's up to you if you want to take the call first or if you want to go to Rachel.
We'll take the call first, and we'll have Rachel on around 6:40. So, yeah, that's fine. You can put the call girl on.
I believe it may be Jordan, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing interesting, guys. What's going on? I love the introduction so far. The show's great.
Oh, man,
too much.
I appreciate
I'm just hanging in there.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
it,
well,
it's
definitely. Most definitely. I really love your show, and I always check it out every week. So I just thought I'd be on and just quickly tune in and say hello and support the network. Obviously, my show's on the network, but remember, my question for you guys is basically how yourself as a podcaster. What made you want to, like, do your show, and what did you do to separate your product from other podcasts?
Well, me, man, Jordan, to be honest, I try to get the in scoop on every wrestler that I interview, and what made me want to do it is the love of the game, you know what I'm saying, because I was actually a big fan. I've been a fan since I was about 8, man. I mean, I know you're questioning me, but, I mean, it's kind of fun. But, yeah, man, it's the love of the game, man, and what I do to separate myself is be different. That's about it, because everybody else kind of does the same thing, and I try to separate myself from everybody.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate your answer. Remember, guys, listen to Jordan Garber now on Open Talk 313 and buy my merch. Cheap plug. You guys have yourselves a good one.
You too, Jordan. Have a good one, man.
All right. All right.
So, yeah, man, like you guys check on Jordan Garber on Open Talk Radio The Flash. Check him out. That guy's great. He got a great show. And so does everybody else on Open Talk Radio, including Martez with Wrestle Talk and the D, man. And we got to bring back the debate show so we can have some old school debates. And I would love to do that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's coming probably in July. So
can't forget my roots. That's what got me started here on this great platform. So I can't forget it. That's like a Charlotte going back to NXT, you know what I'm saying, showing the love and everybody in the game, you know, that they do backstage. You know, I love Wrestle Talk. I'm in the D. I love everybody on Open Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate you.
But, I'm pretty sure Greg is going to be on soon, and Rachel says she'll give us a call back around in 3 minutes. And, like I said, man, this weekend festivities, the shenanigans, the extravaganza, whatever you want to call it, was great. We had a 2 death matches. We had Peter B. Beautiful, the flamboyant one. I gotta have him back on the show versus Sean Lawler, the man. You know what I'm saying? He tried out for WWE 2 times when they stepped here in Detroit. The recent one was when he ambushed Daniel Bryan as one of the extras. So that was great. We had Briar Wellington versus Chuck Stein. They had a great death match, man. The Undisputed King did his thing like always. He's undeniable. He's undisputed. He's the undisputed king of pro wrestling. That's Byron Wellington, 24 years in the game. You can't deny that. And then you got the dirty white boy, his opponent, the dirty white boy, Chuck Stein, Detroit Punk. That's Detroit's best. You know what I'm saying? They go and they did what they did. They gave the blood, exactly what I said, the blood. And they're sweating their tears. And at the end of the day, man, Byron Wellington got the win. And Ashley Peter B. got the win. Oh, no. Sean Longhorn got the win. I'm sorry. And, man, we had a great event. We had a mixed tag team match, which the women were kicking ass, too. Jasmine Navarro, and I'm sorry I couldn't get the other girl's name, but they were both great. And we had Nolan Edwards versus Mitch, or was it Percy Drews? Anyway, you'll be able to see it on Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313 soon, you guys. I'm editing that film as we speak. But, it's going to be great footage and great commentary on some of the videos by my brother Greg, which will be on the line soon, I'm pretty sure. But we just had a great show, and the next one is going to be for a great cause, and everybody come out, support what we're going to do, you know what I'm saying? Support these wrestlers, buy their merch, you know what I'm saying? Because all they do is give their all for you guys. And we can talk a little bit of anything else wrestling, like how AEW is barely beaten, excuse me, guys, NXT and the ratings, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm pretty sure everybody's getting tired of the empty arenas, even though they got their wrestlers out there in the crowd or in their universe, whatever you want to call it. But AEW barely got over by, I want to say, 4,000 views. They were AEW ranked number 14 in the cable's top 50 for the 18 to 49 demographic, while NXT did number 35. And in all over viewership, AEW got 64, NXT got number 65. So if you look at it, man, these numbers don't lie. And it's like, you know, now they're going to be neck and neck because NXT has actually got a lot of, you know, new stars. You got Karrion Kross with Scarlett Bardot. They're going to have an interesting feud going with Adam Cole, baby. Man, you know what I'm saying? They're going to have a great feud going on. I seen that part on NXT last night. That's going to be a great feud because Karrion Kross just straight up demolished Tommaso Ciampa on Sunday at NXT In Your House. Right. Man, that was a great pay-per-view. Did you catch that or no?
Yeah, I caught some of it. Some of it, I fast-forwarded through some of it, but I saw that matchup in its entirety. And I saw the Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai match in its entirety. But the other matches I had to fast-forward because of the lack of time I had. But it looked good, man.
Yeah, well, I just got the message from my guest, from John Gray from GCW, man. He couldn't get out of work, unfortunately, in time for the show, so he's going to have to reschedule. So we're going to reschedule that for the next date. But hopefully soon, I'm not going to make no spoilers, but I might make a special show for referees. There's going to be a special show for referees pretty soon on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. It's going to be it'll be John and a few more referees I'm not going to name, but it's going to be very special, guys, and that's going to be coming soon. But, yeah, if anybody's on the line that would like to talk to Southwest Texan or talk wrestling before I get on line with Rachel Green, or you, even if you want to call, you know what I'm saying, 646-668-8672, you can be live on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast with Southwest Texan and Martez. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that stuff's great, man. Not great that I got canceled on, but it happens most of the time. People got live, like I say, and they don't have to accept the invitation or even reschedule if they cancel. So, I mean, even him rescheduling is great, just like Congo did. And I got to bring that out soon, too, guys, because we actually had some technical difficulties over on Friday when I was doing the interview with Congo. So, Thursday night. It was actually Thursday night after I got off the air here. But Kong was going to reschedule again this week, so we're going to get that on the Zoom. So we're going to probably share that on YouTube and have the audio going on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast also. That's going to be that's going to be great.
Sweet, man. Sweet. You got it going on. Rachel is here now, just to let you know. Rachel.
Okay. All right.
Do you want me to bring her in?
Okay. Yeah, please.
Hello.
Hey, Rachel, how's it going?
It's going. I got Briar here. I guess he's going to chime in.
Okay. What's going on, Snap?
Hey, that's a surprise. I figured I'd surprise you, brother.
Oh, man, this is a big surprise. Everybody, welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Rachel Green and the Undisputed King, the Undeniable King, the man that gave 24 years of the business, gave his life to the business. Briar Wellington, guys, welcome to the show, brothers. And Rachel. Guys, man, the show this past weekend.
You
thought
you're my adopted son.
Oh, yeah. You know.
I'm on the radio. I'm adopting this kid. Day-Day's fired up me, and he's fired up for wrestling for Wyatt on Saturday, just like I am. And we're fired up for the undisclosed location. I don't want to take the interview over. I know I'm a little high energy. I'm gonna stick it back. I'm gonna introduce the queen. Hey, the queen, this little guy.
The king and the queen of Horseland. The king and the queen of Horseland.
He really is. She's really kicking ass for the guys, you know, and working hard.
Yeah, kicking ass. She moves everything in Horseland. You guys are the heart and soul of Horseland, guys. I tell you that much. You guys always bring it, and you guys always do right.
The star of the show here. This is Rachel Green, and she's going to tell you everything that's going on and all the things she's been doing, and she's putting up with me and taming the Undisputed King, and you know I'm on a mission.
All right, brother. I can't wait to see you this weekend. Oh yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be location is in Michigan. It's in Wyandotte. I can't disclose too much. Because of the governor. You know, if you only have 100 people or less, eventually, I think in 2 weeks, it'll be up to 250. So we'll be able to disclose that, you know, more information, address and stuff. But, you know, 100 people, this is for Wyatt. This is for Aaron O'Ryan and his son, Wyatt. He went in for his surgery. He had a tumor on his brain, and come to find out, ended up being cancerous. He's on the ventilator, and he's not able to breathe on his own right now. He's going to be in there for a little bit. He's going to be going through some chemo radiation for 6 weeks. So the family, you know, the mother and the father, they're in there every day, every night, you know, every week an hour, you know, being in there. So we're just, you know, putting a show together to help them, you know, provide for their family while they're not at work. You know, while they're there, help pay their medical bills. But the insurance is not covered, you know. So we got something big going on Saturday. Probably have about 9 matches. I got guys coming from Ohio, Indiana, all over Michigan. You know, there's guys here that we haven't seen or heard of in a long time. You know, we're just all coming together for Wyatt. It's going
to
be great.
That's what we're going to be doing, guys. And that's going to be a great show. And we love to have you guys there. And we, like she said, we can't disclose too much. But, man, we got to come out, you guys. We got to help Aaron O'Ryan because, you know, only God knows, you know, that you know, he actually appreciates everything that Horse Slam's going to do. And Horse Slam is great for doing what they're doing. Rachel and Briar, you guys are great because you guys always think about others than yourselves. You guys always do that. I can see that.
My phone number is, if you want to come out, it's 734-502-6481, or you can contact myself or Brian Wellington on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know, just send the address for your message.
You can get any on Messenger, too, if you guys know me on Facebook.
Yeah, so get hold of one of us, and we'll send you guys the address. There's accepting donations, you know, either it'll be $1, $2, $5, you know, whatever you can afford, you know, it's very, you know, much appreciated. We're going to be having, we got probably about good 4 to 5 different raffles we'll be doing throughout the night. So we'll have the wrestling, we'll have the raffle, we got music going on, just everybody hanging out, making beers, having fun, getting down, you know, I'll be selling pizzas, you know, $1.50 a slice, and then I got another guy coming out, and he's going to be doing some street tacos, and, you know, what's it called? Smoked nachos and smoked sandwiches. What we just said the other day, it was smoked sandwiches. So there's a lot of things going on. Just come out and have fun. So if you need a good hold of us, you want to come out, get a hold of one of us. And we'll take care of
you. So guys, like we said, it's going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be a good vibe. You know, to have when you're around these guys. Horace Sam is a family, and you guys, it's just going to be great. Like, she gave you her number, she gave you her Facebook, she gave you her Instagram, she gave you Briar's information. You guys, if you guys need any information, hit them up, or you can hit me up on Facebook, Dede Cruz. Man, it's just going to be a great time. And Rachel,
a lot of people have been asking. Yeah, a lot of people are asking if we're going to have death matches. It just all depends because there's been a lot of kids there. We try to keep it kid-friendly, you know, not as much cursing and just not as much violence. You know, we'll see how the night goes. I mean, if it goes good and there's not as many kids, then we're going to go all out. The guys would leave, you know.
That's
what they want. So we're the ones, you know, let's just answer a lot of questions. So, but there's 9 matches.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably about 2.5 to 3 hours long.
Okay. Yeah, these matches and you guys, these ain't no WWE matches. These guys actually, well, not saying that they don't give their heart in the WWE, but these guys in Horse Slam, man, they give their 1,000%. They're not in it for the money. They're not in it for the fame. They're in it for the love of the game. So you guys come out, support Horse Slam, support these guys, support Aaron, you know what I'm saying? You guys got to support, because that's how we're doing this business. And like I said, and that's how, if the shoes were in other people's shoes, you know, we'd be supporting too. So, Rachel, like, I thank you for the last week's show. Last week's show was great too. Like, Briar did his thing.
And man, for a man in the 24 years in the business, didn't even look like it on Saturday or on on Saturday.
He's all right. I mean, he's not too bad. The 23 years, he's not too bad, I guess.
But you keep the undefeated, you keep them close, and that's awesome. You guys, like Chuck Stein and Breyer did a great match. Peter and Sean did another great death match also. That I can't take no credit from none of them matches, because they were all great.
You're going to see what they're going to come up with on Saturday, trust me. It's going to be different.
Oh, boy,
I
can't wait. I'm going to have fun being there, and it's always fun being there. But how do you keep it all juggling, Rachel? How do you juggle all of this? I got to ask you, how do you juggle all of this?
A lot of Reese cups.
No. Everybody, if you love Rachel, bring Reese cups on Saturday. Bring your Reese cups.
Believe it or not, I had five people on Saturday actually listen to the podcast last week, and they did. They brought me Reese cups, and one guy said, "Oh my God, I forgot to bring you some." So they left them in the store.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so Reese cups, guys. If you want to keep Rachel juggling horse lamb and keeping her happy, Reese cups.
Yeah, just if you guys want to go, let me know. The number is 734-502-6481. You can contact Brian on his Facebook, my Facebook, Diddy's Facebook.
My faith in humanity. I swear to God, I thought I was ready to go insane that first week of this whole pandemic, when everybody was wearing the mask and was spraying their faces down. It was freaking me out. I feel like you're in like an alien movie or something, like a sci-fi movie or something. It started getting weird, and I'm like, holy shit. And it was like, I don't know, man. I was like, I'm not going to snap here, am I, guys? And I'm like, no, use this energy to inspire and motivate and start to, you know, not only just motivate and inspire other people, but myself. And now I'm pushing forward, and I'm like a new person. Trust me. And you're just going to be doing some great things. And I'm already, like, reached out, and, you know, and I've made the moves already. Like, while everybody's sleeping, I'm working, you know. Outwork everybody and be undeniable. You know, that's what the whole Undisputed King's about. And I'm going to lead this new generation in the right way. And it's going to be a pro wrestling reset, brother. Get ready.
Yeah, we're ready for the wrestling reset. We're ready for the pro wrestling reset. We're not doing a sports and entertainment reset. We're doing a pro wrestling reset. There's no sports and entertainment about Horace Lamb. Horace Lamb is blood, sweat, and tears and pro wrestling. Pro Horace Lamb, Briar Wellington is going to take over the wrestling game. That's all I got to say. He's going to be the one to challenge for that TNT championship. Cody, if you're listening, let Briar Wellington challenge for that TNT championship, and he'll take that from you. And he'll bring more prestige to that TNT championship than he was wrestling before you were even thought of, Cody. So let Brian Wellington get a chance at it.
I gave Cody respect, but it's just like, yeah, like it's funny. I can tell him stories about being on shows with his father, and actually, like, his father looking over my matches for TNA, you know, my dad had been at the road that night. So it was like kind of would mean something to wrestle, you know, wrestle his son. And, you know, like, I'm going to make a moment with that guy, you know. So he's a special person in wrestling me, because he actually inspired me later on in my career, too. So he's somebody I actually, you know, been inspired by. That whole AEW movement's pretty cool. It's just it's a corporate structure now. And I'm indie. And I'm representing the game, and I'm going to represent the indie pro wrestling team.
That's right. That is totally correct. I believe in that, because I've known you almost 2 years of my whole life, and you've been a mentor, and you've been my wrestling father to me. And I'll tell you that much. Even earlier you said, you know, I'm your adopted son, and that's, we're going to make a big wave in this wrestling community, in this wrestling business.
Rachel, fill them in. Tell them, you know, give them a little more info. Just go, let's like rehash again. Give them a GoFundMe.
Yeah, there is a GoFundMe. It's on Aaron Richards' page. They haven't taken it down yet. I believe they'll probably keep it up this next week. If you cannot make the event Saturday. You can either GoFundMe, you can contact one of us, and we can give you the information. If you cannot, if you're not on his page, you can listen to his page. That way they can get the GoFundMe. Sometimes at 4 o'clock, you will probably go on until about, say, 9 or 10. You know, like I said, got the wrestling, food, music. So you got it all going on.
Yeah, for sure. So you guys, if you guys can make it, like she said, you guys could do the GoFundMe thing, or you guys can donate in any way you can. Man, just support, because this man needs your help, and it's going to be for a great cause, believe it. And I can't wait till Saturday. Saturday's going to be a great show, just like always. Horseslam, always doing a great show. It's must see every time.
Stay tuned, because we got location 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, there, yep. I can't wait. I'm ready. I'm ready. The sleep is for the weary, so we're not that. So we don't sleep much and we think more. So
I need to sleep.
Yeah.
he keeps me up all night.
You need some Reese's.
I was up at 6 a.m. this morning again. I'm like, oh no, why?
That's your spinach. That's your spinach. Yeah. Is your Reese's. There you go.
But all right, Daddy, I'm gonna get off here. My phone's about to die. I gotta go pick up my kid and finish gathering out some stuff I need to do for Saturday. So.
Okay, Rachel. It's been great to have you on, and we'll have you on next week. Let everybody know the other next location.
All right.
See you
good.
Saturday, and I'll be talking to you then.
All right. Thanks.
Later. All right, everybody. That was Rachel Breyer, the Undisputed King and Queen of Horror Slam, was on the Rated R Wrestling podcast. We're gonna do another great. They're gonna do another great show. I can't wait to be a part of it this Saturday. If you want to get a go to them, their phone number was given, and if you didn't get it, you can hear it on the replay of the Rated R Wrestling podcast. Rachel Green on Facebook, Breyer Wellington on Facebook. You can even get at me, Dede Cruz at Facebook. If you want to go to the Undisclosed location for a great cause for Aaron O'Ryan and his son.
That's nice, man. That's a nice cause, man. Nice cause.
Yeah, man. Horse, like I said earlier, they don't just think about themselves. They think about their wrestlers, their families, and they think about their fans. Definitely. And like I said, man, it's gonna be fun. I can't wait. Any callers on the line that would like to talk to the Southwest Texas? If you're not on the line, you can give me a call. Area code 646-668-8672. Again, 646-668-8672. Tongue tied, been running like all week, man. It's crazy.
It's all good. I can relate, man. I can relate. I didn't screen this call, but I believe this is Greg.
Okay. Greg, welcome, like always, brother.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, man, you know how I am. You seen me Saturday running like a chicken with my hair cut off, man. You seen it.
Man, what a time. What a show. It was, sorry you missed it, Martez. How are you this evening, sir?
I feel good, man. I feel good. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Man, we're doing good. Praise the Lord. We Saturday, good time, man. Great show. Brian Wellington, man. I mean, you see some guys, got a little quarantine weight, not the Undisputed King. Actually, he's looks like they're trying to kind of change the gimmick to the Undeniable King. He's been coming out with the 24-karat lion, Jeremy Goldman, his awesome character. But every reference he made to Breyer, he called him the Undeniable King. And Breyer's been using that hashtag, too.
Hashtag Undeniable.
I'll tell you what, the King was looking lean, very lean.
Hey, for a man that has 24 years experience in this business, you can't deny him, and you can't expect him to get fat, because you know he's not going to do that, because you got to stay rough and tough for that ring. That ring has no – he has no ring.
That guy aged backwards, though, 10 years in 3 months. Because
he did.
You know.
He did.
Yeah, they
so,
–
yeah, man,
what a show. And they say, you know, Horace Lame is a family. They sure are. It was in January, Rachel sent me a message and said, hey, you know, you guys come on out to Horace Lame. It's Bradley's birthday. She's like, you know, we got you. And, you know, that's the type of people they are. And Aaron O'Ryan, you ask around, cause, you know, I know probably in the last couple of years more about what's going on around here than I do what's going on TV. And if you listen to interviews and guys talking about how they came up and where they came from, Aaron O'Ryan has been integral in many careers in this area. Tommy Vendetta, a lot of the guys from Saginaw, a lot of guys will tell you that as a mentor, as a trainer, that, you know, and I could tell you as a fan, you know, from a fan's perspective, that Aaron Richard is a hell of a guy, you know, the nicest guy you'll ever meet.
Most definitely, man. And I actually didn't get to meet the man personally, but this Saturday I will give him my hand, and I'll be handing him a donation. That's for sure, because
he was like
an army ranger,
a sergeant in the Army Rangers or something too. Dude fought for his country.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't write a better story of a man than, you know, Aaron O'Ryan or Aaron Richard. He's great guy. Nothing. He deserves nothing but respect, and, you know, it's awful his family's going through this. I mean, something that just came up. Yeah, his son was having a little problem, and he took him in, and they're like, yeah, there's a tumor. They had to go in. It was a little more complicated than they expected, and, yeah, and then the C word, man. I mean, you never want to hear that pertaining to a child ever, man. We lost Noah mm-hmm. to cancer. He was, you know, real close to the wrestling community.
That was sad.
There's actually
the
Proving Ground Tag Team titles are the Team Noah Proving Ground Tag Team titles. They're, you know, those titles were made in his memory. As, you know, a 12-year-old child taken by cancer. Awful.
That's definitely awful. Being a part of this wrestling family for the last 2 years has been nothing great, man. And it's been a long run, but it's been a great one. You know what I'm saying? And because like I said before, you were there when my mom passed, and you were there for me. Everybody there was there for me. They did the 10-bell toll for my mom. And Horace Lamb is just great for things when it comes to their fans and their family. And, you know, that's what we are. And, man, I can't wait till Saturday, like I said, give him my donation, man.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like people at all. I don't even like my own family. But most of the people I like, I met through independent wrestling. And, you know, like you said, it's definitely a family.
Yeah, it is. And I'm glad to be a part of it. And Martez, man, we'll welcome you with open hands, man. Whenever you want to come around, man, I would love to have you around, man, in this community.
It's like a real bad drug. If we can get you there once, we'll be seeing you twice a month, at least once a month. We just got to get you one time, brother, one time.
That's all.
I'm telling you, the emotion that you feel being that close to action is just, I mean, you can't, we had gone to Raw before we went to our first, and it's like, wow, man, there's like not a bad seat here. And it's just, man, the emotion is so much stronger with, you know, the smaller live crowd and you yell you suck to, man, he's going to hear it, and he's going to give it right back to you. You know what I mean? It's so great, man.
Man, that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's
great. Actually, I talked to MM3. I talked to Malcolm on Saturday, and he said he's going to try to get his dad through so we could get that challenge laid down.
Hey, you know how I feel about the process. That,
you know,
man, he might be the greatest unsigned talent on earth. Unbelievable how good he is. It's criminal
that
he's not an Impact or an NXT by now, or in Ring of Honor or even AEW, because I tell you, he's better than guys in all of those places I just named. There's guys on TV.
Okay, I'm going to name one guy he's better than.
Lace MM3 boots.
one guy that, I mean, I know I'm going to get heat for this, but I believe that he could go heads up with former cruiserweight champion Lio Rush and whoop Lio Rush's ass.
Who's this?
Huh? That's Day-Day.
MM3? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I believe he could whoop on Lio Rush. I don't see why he's not signed. He could be cruiserweight champion. You know what I'm saying? He could even be heavyweight champion. I know, you know, some places got their limits on their weights, but MM3 can do it. And if they bring, like,
shoot.
I believe him and his dad got a better chance in doing their thing. And if they were going to go on a bigger stage, there's two stages they can go on that they won't care about age, because you know how it is with WWE, is AEW or Impact, where Amanda Monroe's can run rapid, because that's what they do. They can't fit the WWE product if they go in as the Monroes. MM3 could fit in because he got that, you know what I'm saying, that thing. But DBA is just straight where you can't. WWE be like, no. Because they,
no.
You know, DBA is too much. He's too much is what I'm going to say. Like, it's not a bad too much either. It's just like something that WWE wouldn't approve.
No, he's rated R. The whole,
yeah,
his whole, I mean, it's a brawling style. I mean, don't get me wrong. DBA can wrestle, too. But, you know, more of a brawling style, a hardcore style.
Look who his daddy is.
The character of DBA is, you know, they say the best characters are someone's, you know, real-life person turned up to 100, and that's the DBA. Nicest guy you'll ever meet that will fucking stab you.
He'll stab his own damn son, damn it.
Yeah, the nicest guy you'll ever meet, man. We'll give a home run and the shirt off his back. He's done it. But he will stab you. You can get it.
Like, hey, remember that time at Rockies? I'm going to say this on air. This is a funny story, man. So you guys are going to get a kick out of this, whoever's listening to this. I remember one time, I'm sure you were there, Greg. I remember you there. Where the one
I
time
was there.
Where DBA
I know what you're going to say.
The security guard. Yeah. Remember that?
So, DBA was, he was drinking out. It was actually the anniversary of the day his dad died. And he was not in no mood anyway. Just so you know.
Oh, I knew.
I remember that like
that.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, I do too. It was fun. It was not fun to see that happen, but it was fun that night. All out.
It was fun until the cops showed up.
That's insane.
But,
that's insane,
yeah,
man.
He was going to stab that security guy. But, dude, that guy was a douche from the time we were standing in line to go into the building. I don't know what it was with that guy, but that guy was an absolute tyrant. And he was, you know, DBA was standing on a chair. And he was like, look, and he told him, I don't give a fuck who you are. Motherfucker, I'll stab you. I tried to tell you as nice as I could. And, yeah, he could have got it. And it was,
yeah, he could have.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then I will go on and say it. Nick Gage fears DBA. DBA cut his promo. Nick Gage came up behind DBA, domed him with a light tube, and kind of ran like a bitch, dude. And DBA picked up a light tube and turned around, and he's looking at elbows and assholes of Nick Gage, dude, heading back to the curtain. So, and DBA challenged him.
Hey, Greg, what match was that after? I don't mean to cut you off, but what match was that after? Because I think I got that on the podcast on YouTube.
I have the video of it. I shared it on Facebook of that part.
Yeah,
that actual, just that part when DBA, because, dude, DBA's my guy. He started talking, I'm like, all right, what's he talking? And then Nick Gage came, I'm like, oh, wow. And then when DBA turned around and picked up a light tube, man, Nick Gage was bailing. And I was like, wow. And he called it this. It must have been August or September
last
of 18
year.
Because I believe that, no, 18 actually. Because
oh, yeah,
the date
right.
he called him
18.
Out for,
right.
I believe, was October. I think the date was like October 18th or 16th. It would have been 2018. It would have been definitely a Friday night. And that, it never happened, man. And it ain't because DBA won't fight Nick Gage. Because DBA. Yeah.
My bad.
I'll tell you what. He met his match with DBA. You know, I mean, he might meet his match with DBA, who is undefeated in Fans Bring the Weapons, by the way. Undefeated in Fans Bring the Weapons. And it's ridiculous. It's like 38-0-1. Him and MM3 had a draw, actually, the Kira Clan and DTA, Orion, Price, Weir, and I believe Wick, too, and Johnny Delicious jumped in at the end of it, and it turned into a brawl with the fun-loving criminal. So that actually ended in a no contest. It was supposed. MM3, I have a picture, had a Lego stuck in his back. The corner of the Lego was stuck in his back.
No. Jesus.
Yeah, that was just one part. It was wild. Now, you hear the Hot Rocks, XICW's home, is for sale.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it's $1 million. I don't know if the building's worth that. They're advertising it because it's in a marijuana grow area. It's been zoned and approved or whatever to grow weed in, but they want $1 million for this place.
They did it.
10,000 square feet.
Yeah.
I just want to let you know we do have a caller on the board, but you can take the call whenever you want to, but we do have a caller.
They could join in. More than Mary.
This is Lee. Lee is calling in.
Hey, what's going on, Lee? You're on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast with Southwest Texas Daily Cruise, and Greg's on the line. What's going on, brother?
How you doing, man?
Can't complain.
Good evening, Lee.
Welcome to the show.
By the way, let me do the same plug in here. I have to have a show. Just click on over. Right here, BossRay.com. Click on over. Wrestling Track. It's pretty cool. Now, Kevin Yard's fault got a 1,000 AC championship. A little too early for me. I'll put my two cents there. Kevin Yard, I feel like I'm on the right. Kevin Yard cross. This is Killer Cross.
Yeah.
Right now.
You said, I can't understand. You said what?
No, I said.
You sound a little muffled on my end, too.
Huh?
Gimina?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Kerry on Cross, in NXT. Used to be Killer Cross. I guess that's too much for the USA Network, so I decided to get him carrying on instead of a killer. But anyway, I think, you know, it's too early for him to be championships right now.
I agree with you, but WWE, well, Vince McMahon is going to push him to the moon, I guess. They're going to let him and Scarlet Bordeaux take over NXT. They're going to let him run rampant and run rage over NXT. If you seen the NXT In Your House last Sunday night, he ran house over Tommaso Ciampa, which has been one of NXT's best wrestlers in the whole history, because he's one of the toughest, and I mean, he made him look like he was a punk. So I mean, one thing I can say is that Karrion Kross has a great character in NXT. He's had a character in wherever he was in ROH and everywhere he's been. But they're going to give him a big push, and they're going to let him win the NXT. If he doesn't win the NXT championship in this feud and he goes to a losing try to win the NXT title, I'm pretty sure they're going to give him the North American champion, because Triple H actually sees Keith Lee as the next heavyweight champion of NXT or even the main roster. So I believe if he doesn't win the NXT championship in this attempt to go against Adam Cole, which is supposed to be getting caught up to the main roster, he's going to win that for sure, that NXT North American championship, and then the NXT championship. So I believe the next one that's going to be Adam Cole for that NXT title is going to be the one that's going to be Keith Lee.
Interesting.
I'm kind of surprised they brought him right to the top so fast, actually. And I agree. I think he's absolutely poised to win the title from Adam Cole. They, I mean, we've seen him do it with other people. We've seen him do it with Finn, Kevin Owens, Nakamura, guys they debuted at the, you know, like they debuted Nakamura with Sami Zayn on pay-per-view. That match was awesome. But, you know, and then moved Nakamura right to the top of the card. And, I mean, Ciampa and Gargano, like, they work their way there, putting on matches and generating buzz. And that's what I like about NXT is you can get some buzz, you know, organically where you can't really on the main roster, that, you know, people just get noticed, just getting used in a wrestling type of way. And the cream rises to the top, as they say. And, I mean, Adam Cole debuted as a surprise at the end of a takeover. And the Undisputed Era, I'm surprised they haven't been called up. And I wonder if they haven't been called up because they don't want to be called up. And, you know, I'm sure you heard that Adam Cole has definitely...
Adam Cole has said that on record, that he doesn't want to be called up to the main roster. You still there?
And I read that, too. That's why I wonder that if that's part of the reason they haven't been there yet.
Mm-hmm. Lee, you still there, you guys?
Yes, sir. By the way, like, I love how I carry on, put the challenge down. Scarlett, Mrs. Cross, Scarlett came out with a little, what you call it?
Standing glass.
Time. And just stood upside down, TikTok. Not a word was said. Just turned up the upside down, TikTok.
Oh, she's so hot.
Yeah, she is. I agree with that one.
She is in my top five for sure.
Definitely, she is one of the hottest things, and Heidi's in my top five also. Her and Heidi are in my top five.
I like Toni Storm a lot too, man. Toni Storm and Scarlett. I don't know. I can't think above those two. They might be one too, and you could put either one in either place, man.
Alexa Bliss is hot. I like Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Somebody likes Alexa Bliss? I mean, I like Alexa. She got a little booty. I mean, damn.
She ain't got a Toni Storm booty, brother.
Oh, man. She okay, wait. Whoa. She ain't got a Toni Storm booty. She ain't got a Toni Storm booty, but she got the whole little perfect package going on, the 5 feet of fury. She got 5 feet of fury, and then she's hot. She can wrestle. Come on, dude.
Yeah, she can get that three spot. But I can't put her ahead of Scarlett or Toni, for sure.
No. Well, I don't know about the Toni thing, but, I mean, from the Scarlett, I can't see that. Ah.
Man. And with her baseball cap, dude, Toni Storm's sexy as hell.
She is. What do you think, Lee?
Well, I'll tell you this, man. It's nothing like the old school. Trish Stratus now, oh, my God, dude, I feel bad for her kids.
Yeah, you know what? Trish Stratus still now. For the last 20 years, Trish Stratus is right there.
Definitely.
I agree.
You know what? Lita now is hotter than Lita then.
I agree. She's way prettier.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. Trish? You could, I mean, now or then, she's still top five.
Definitely Trisha's top five. But Lita has aged better than when she was then, because Lita now is just like hotter than ever. Well, to me,
yeah,
in my
time
opinion,
has been good to Lita. Trish too.
Yeah, definitely. They both done their turn, and the time has gone well with both of them.
You know how they advertised that Lita and Trish was the first time women ever main evented Raw? That was not true. I'm watching this channel I watch, Wrestling Bios. They do this. It's called Reliving the War. He started this series where he watches each 15-minute segment and puts them head-to-head and picks a winner. But the main event in, October was the first year. It was like the first year Nitro was out, so I guess 95. Bertha Faye and Alundra Blaze main evented Raw, and Alundra Blaze won the title back from Bertha Faye. That was actually the first time women, and like that's Alundra never talked about. And I just realized that literally last night.
No, was it Raw or Nitro?
Raw. On Raw, Alundra Blaze, not Medusa. Alundra Blaze and Big Bertha Faye. She was managed by Harvey Whippleman, but she had lost. Alundra Blaze had dropped the title to her. It was right after her feud with Bull Nakano. And on that episode of Raw, in the main event, she won back the title. So, yeah, they've been lying to us all these years. They did that documentary, the Women's Evolution documentary, and, you know, they focused on that. But, yeah, the girls did main event one other time in a wrestling match, not some diva bullshit.
Yeah.
They tried to say Sasha and Charlotte was the first female main event match on Raw. For a while, they tried to say that.
That was on pay-per-view. That was on pay-per-view, right?
No, they main evented Raw too, because that was the night Sasha Banks won the championship for the first time.
Yeah,
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's actually correct.
Yeah, because Sasha always won it on TV and never defended it at the. Yeah, they always screwed her over. She never got a proper title run. They never even gave her a chance to see.
Big time.
Dude, heel Sasha is an awesome character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
And your cousin with Uncle Snoop.
Yeah, that's true. That's very much true. That's very much true. His cousin Uncle SNOOPDOJIZZY. That's for sure.
That's right.
That's right. But, man, the women are... what do you guys think about the short run of the women's tag title with Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross? Them giving up the title so quick to Sasha Banks and making Bayley two belts.
They
happen.
Got a good run with it. They gave them a good run with it.
No, remember,
I think.
They lost them. They lost them, then they regained them.
Yeah, that was all part of their title run. You know what I mean? They had that little swerve, bro. You know, but... Yeah, they gave them a proper, and I love the pairing because they're complete opposites. Nikki's a freaking barbarian, and you know, and a nutcase, and Alexa's a manipulative princess. You know, she wins by trickery. Nikki is a straight brawler. great pairing, great character. I mean, the team is still a thing, but I think that heel Bailey and heel Sasha should be at the top of that, actually, even though they've been at the top of it without having the titles.
I
think it was a good switch.
Got some business to take care of. I'm going to tap out here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
All right. You have a good one, man. Thanks for coming on.
We do have another caller on Southwest, but whenever you want me to go to this caller, let me know.
Yeah, go to him.
All right, this is Jason.
Okay. What's going on, Jason? Welcome to the Ready to Rock Wrestling Podcast, man. What's going on?
Nothing much.
What you got, man? What's going on? How you doing?
So, I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, man, can't complain. We live and we up above the earth.
So how do you feel about this Fatal 5-Way scheduled for Slammiversary?
Oh, man, Slammiversary. Everybody should – hey, thanks for bringing that up. Mr. John, capital letter E, period, Bravo, tells everybody to tune into Impact every Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Access TV and to get – that Slammiversary pay-per-view, but man, that Fatal 5-Way match, man, I think that Tessa Blanchard is actually in trouble because she got problems with Impact right now. They're not on good terms, I guess not, because they've been trying to get her to do some promos that they could put in their vignettes during these tapings of Impact, and she didn't do it, so they're going to I don't know if they're going to let her retain that championship come Slammiversary. So I believe the next one in line out of that Fatal 5-Way match is either going to be Michael the Unbreakable Elgin, which is a great guy. Seen him live.
XICW original.
There you go. Yep, that's true. XICW original. Yep, that guy right there, either he's going to win that Impact World title or Austin A. Ace Austin, because Ace Austin's been on a great run in Impact. He's a former X Division champion. Michael Elgin has been on a rampage since he's been in the Impact Zone. He went from Ring of Honor, getting trained by the or actually being managed by the Truth Martini. And you guys, the Truth Martini school will be reopened. So hit up if you want to be a pro wrestler, that's where the school starts, because if you ain't, you've been trained by the ref,
July 6th, I believe.
Yep, July 5th. Yeah, I believe July 6th or July 15th. One of them two, but you guys got to open that up. Check them out on Facebook, Truth Martini, if you want to become a wrestler, ref, or manager.
Yeah, you get trained right for about $2,000.
Yep, well, about $2,000. Well, we won't say that because I really don't know. But, yeah, Michael Elgin's been trained by Truth Martini. He was in Ring of Honor, ran Rampage over there, over in New Japan. So he left all those promotions to go to Impact to win that world title. And Ace Austin is in that same chase. So I believe either one of those two are going to win. And Michael Elgin, if he wins it, he's going to go head-to-head with the self-proclaimed TNA heavyweight champion, Moose. And I believe that they're going to bring that together and make an undisputed title. I believe they're going to bring another title out for the Impact.
Did you know Elgin came here from Canada? He was 16 or 17. Nobody would train him, and Truth trained him. And XICW gave him a shot. Before he was, you know, a champion in New Japan, you know, wrestling at the Tokyo Dome, man. That guy, and he lets you know every time he's in town that, you know, where he came from and where his shot came from. So, you know, that's the kind of guys Truth Martini trains and breeds.
So who do you think is going to win at Slammiversary?
Nah, I'm got Michael Elgin.
What do you think?
I kind of feel like something's going to happen, and I kind of feel like they're going to give it to Eddie Edwards.
I can see that happening.
I can actually see that happening. But, it's up in the air with me, with Austin or Ace Austin or Michael Elgin, because Eddie Edwards has been there before. If they believed in Eddie Edwards and Impact, they would have gave it to him like another year ago or 2 years ago. But I mean, I'm pushing for Michael Elgin or I'm pushing for Ace Austin because I like the way Ace Austin does his style. But at the same time, this ain't the X Division. You don't look like a heavyweight. You've beaten heavyweights, but you don't look like a heavyweight. I guess, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that that's the thing, but that's why they got weight limits. But Michael Elgin is like a big dude. He's a big Rampage dude. So I don't know, man. I'm pushing to Michael Elgin. Are you going to be ordering a Slammiversary?
I'm going to try.
Okay. Yeah, that's I want to try to get that too. I believe I'm gonna order. I don't believe it's that much money. I believe it's like $30. If it's $50, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying I'm cheap, but
I don't want to lie. I'll be so busy. I'll catch highlights after. if I hear something was real good, I'll go out of my way to catch a full match.
Yeah, definitely. That's true. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I might want to be able. I might watch it. I don't know. Maybe you could come. We'll watch it, Greg, or you know what I'm saying? Whatever, man.
Yeah, perhaps.
But, yeah, Jason, what other matches are you looking forward to Slammiversary?
Really, I think that's the main one.
Okay. Did you watch NXT TakeOver in your house?
Yes, I did. And I'm rewatching it right now.
I should be watching it again myself, but I'm actually not. But it's actually a great pay-per-view. I enjoyed that Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream match. I believe that Velveteen Dream should have won it.
Right. I think one of my favorite matches was the Damian Priest versus Finn Balor match.
That was a good match. That was a good match. I agree with that.
That and then the Triple Threat women's match.
That one I kind of, I didn't really like that one. I didn't enjoy that one. Not saying the women don't know what they're doing, but I didn't enjoy that match. That match wasn't, no.
Now, for the women's division, whether it be Raw, SmackDown, or NXT, who do you feel like they should give a push to?
They need to stop pushing Charlotte. People are signing petitions for WWE to stop pushing Charlotte or at least putting championships on Charlotte. But right now, man, WWE women's division is really up in the air. They're giving their belt. I mean, I was surprised they gave the women's NXT Women's Championship to Io Shirai. I was surprised, but that was great, and that was great that they gave her that kind of Japanese feeling when they gave the streamers and stuff to her. But, man, I can't say. I really can't on the women's division because it's all the same difference. You're getting the same feeling from all of them. You're getting the same feeling from all of them, and WWE is just going to do what they do, and that's be WWE.
Yeah, they screwed it up with Asuka. They had a superstar. Asuka could still be the women's champion. I mean, Charlotte didn't win and lose so much, people might, not be so sick of her. But, man, Naomi is a phenomenal talent. Someone that does it. And she's another one that never got a solid push. Like, she was getting one and got hurt, and then she won in Tampa and they didn't do shit.
Yeah.
It would be nice to see Naomi get a good, solid push and let her see what she can do, see if she can move the scales. I know it's hard right now. Like they said, Seth Rollins was a failure as the champion because he didn't draw money, and that's how they – they really look at it is their ticket sells at house shows, and they have not that to go on.
Yeah, that's for sure. Who do you think, Jason? Who do you think should get a push in WWE NXT or SmackDown?
I feel like with how long she's been there, I feel like they should give Tamina a push. Hopefully, somewhat. Give Naomi a better push, and even though she came back, I feel like I feel like even though she was out pretty long due to injury, I feel like they should give Tegan Nox a push.
Tegan Nox, she's all right. I like Tegan Nox. I like the style. What do you think, Greg, about Tegan Nox?
Tegan Knox, I guess you gotta see how somebody's gonna hold up before I guess I could see that and coming back so soon, but it's another person I could see him giving a push to in a legitimate wrestler setting. Tamina, not so much because Tamina's so boring. The character is boring. She doesn't really have that character, that charisma. She's kind of just she is better in like as some girl's muscle, or maybe even like I would love to see her like switch places with Zelina Vega and be a muscle for us. Zelina Vega is a phenomenal performer, and we've only seen little glimpses of it, but man, she can go.
Yeah, and I agree. This is Martinez. I agree. She's I always say she's like the top. She's in the top four, Zelina Vega, in my opinion, because the few times I've seen her wrestle. Like, she's just super dynamite, man, and I don't know why they haven't unleashed her yet into the wrestling ring.
And her shit's so crisp. Everything she does is so clean and crisp.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. And in regards to Tamina, I saw a video. I think they're going to change her character into some kind of crazy person. You saw that, too?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
That might work. Something different. I mean, the whole Jimmy Snooker's daughter thing, dude, it was cool. I was like, oh, wow. And, I mean, you see her, and it's, she's not impressive to me. I mean, as a character or really a performer.
Yeah, I agree with that, because the only thing really she got going is her last name, and that's it.
And that's tarnished.
Yeah. That is true. But I believe also, man, that I don't know, man. Like I said, she only got her last name. That's why WWE ain't really doing nothing with her. They're trying to get a character for her. I believe this is going to be another failure for Tamina. It's going to be another failure because they're saying, oh, I lost championship matches. I've been out for 10 years and ain't done shit. And that's basically that's the character that they're going to give her. And they're going to try to get her to go run rapid and all this other shit, but it's not going to happen.
If Japan, like New Japan, had more women performers and she went there as a badass and a brawler, you know, Haku or Ming style, and got over, she could come back and maybe get over or be over if she went off and did something else on her own as a performer without using a character. You know, New Japan doesn't depend so much on the character, and they can put the emphasis on a striking style and get it over if it's done right. You know, I feel like that's the only way she's going to be anywhere other than the bottom to the middle of any card or story, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure. Jason, you still there?
Yeah.
So what do you think about Tamina's new character?
Her new character is okay, but I kind of feel like she better, like, if she just pretty much goes completely, almost like a Dean Ambrose, just goes completely unhinged.
Like Greg said, yeah, like no character, just performer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
No, he's saying completely ape shit crazy, right, Jason?
Yes.
Yeah. And he might be right. It's going to have to be a complete... What, that's what you think she needs to do to get over? That big a departure from what she is now to just ape shit crazy? That could work for her, because it's going to have to be a total departure from what she's been for the last, like, 10 years, because it hasn't worked.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure. It hasn't worked for anything. And I believe that. I mean, both of you guys are right. If she just goes ape shit and then goes and goes on and just no gimmick, just kick ass, that would be probably, she could probably become the next female,
Does she have the charisma in her to get over this ape shit crazy character in a believable way, though? You know what I mean? Because if she tries and she's not that guy, she's going to look like a clown.
That's for sure. That is for sure. That is for sure. And I believe that, I mean, you got to look at it. Haku is still in the business also. He's in New Japan. So if she was to make the move, it would be the right time would be now.
Yeah, and I believe she's kin to the whole Samoan dynasty. And, I mean, hey, that could work. Yeah, put her with the Bullet Club, with the Gorillas of Destiny, with her cousins. And, you know, put her with Meng, who can legitimately beat up anybody still at 70 years old or whatever he is.
Yeah.
You see him try to kill Simon and his boys from what culture?
I seen that. That was fun.
At the
dude.
Bullet Club Black Party? That was about a year or two ago?
Yep, that was last year. It was fun. Yeah, I remember that. But
Jason, what area are you from?
Detroit.
Are you coming to the undisclosed location in Wyandotte this Saturday?
I'm going to try.
Are you familiar with, go to any shows around here?
Not really, because I'm mainly always busy with work.
Oh, okay.
I see. XICW usually runs on Sundays and Horrorslam. Horrorslam has been running weekly in undisclosed locations. This will be three weeks in a row. And Breyer said 4, 5, and 6 is already set to go. But and there's a lot of good stuff in the area, downriver mostly. Horror Slam's usually a Friday night show when, you know, once the venue opens back up, that's in Lincoln Park. And, man, a lot of good stuff. So we've been trying to get Martez out, man. I swear, any wrestling fan that attends a show in Michigan will not be disappointed, man. The talent around here is top-notch. And that's from I'm a longtime wrestling fan. I'm not easily impressed, man.
I'm gonna try to make it out to some of them.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. I even sometimes I have to let work know. this show's important to me. We have to be off early or something.
Right. So what do y'all think of this new, what do you think of this new side of Johnny Gargano?
I love it. I love it.
Man, I'm a fan of Johnny.
He needed this revamp. He needed this. He needed to get rid of that club song, theme song that he had. It's a good gimmick or whatever, but I believe Johnny Gargano's new heel turn is great. He needed it, especially now that he's doing it with his wife, even all the better.
I like Johnny Gargano either way. He did need something fresh. I mean, the guy, I don't know. He's another guy that made it to the top. They finally won the big one, and they took it right off him.
Right. I kind of like this new side of Johnny. I just feel like it would have been sweeter when he had that feud with Ciampa.
Yeah, but you got to look at it this way. With that wouldn't have looked right. I mean, it could have, but heel versus heel, I mean, I don't see it because they wanted him to be one as a heart and soul in NXT and one as a dark heart of NXT. You know what I'm saying? They were trying to do, like, the Undertaker.
Yeah, but they could have done a double switch, and it could have worked because Ciampa has turned out a face, and Gargano now a heel. I liked when they were working together as heels there for a minute before Ciampa got hurt again. And, you know, I like that stuff. That was good stuff. But they could have done it with a double switch. And it really could have been done well. And I understand. I mean, how many times you're going to see Ciampa and Gargano? Well, my answer is, how about one more? Fuck it. Especially if they change shirts. I mean, name a bad Gargano versus Ciampa match. I'll wait. You know what I mean?
I can't think of one.
Exactly. I mean, oh, my God, Gargano and Ciampa again? All right, did you watch the fucking match? Was it good? Shut up. Enjoy the show.
They could have
maybe got one more out of that with them switching places.
Right. I think my favorite Ciampa and Gargano match was probably that last beat match.
Mine was the one that Ciampa won with the hanging DDT on the exposed ring, but I was mad because there was a spot before that I felt like should have ended the match that was more believable. It was a few minutes before. I love the match, though, and that one was actually, I think, my favorite because how many times, and that's the emotion. Actually, I get a little bit of goosebumps. The 1, 2, that's it, it's over. 1, oh, my God,
yes.
He kicked out. Dude, what can top that? You know, and the match continued. And all of their matches were like that.
Yes. Speaking of, like, emotions, that WrestleMania match between Edge and Randy Orton, that last man standing match, when the rest of
I'm looking forward to the match on Sunday.
Right. Especially when that last man standing match, when the rest started doing the count and Edge stopped the ref.
Yeah, I remember that. That was
yeah.
I mean, That match, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to see you.
That was before the one-man concerto.
Yeah. That match was way too long, for one. I enjoyed their both. I grew up on Edge. Randy Orton, I kind of, like, you know what I'm saying, and my teens grew up with Edge, Randy Orton. But you know what I'm saying? Them two could have did something way better in the ring like they're going to do this Sunday.
Yeah, but it was good for what it was. I don't like the backstage brawling type of matches, so I didn't love it for that reason. But it was good. Do you guys remember the first Gargano-Ciampa match? It was actually in the Cruiserweight Classic. And it told a great story.
That.
It was a lot like their man, like, oh my God, this is not, and like, because they were just starting to be a team. And it was when he had to, you know, Ciampa had to kick his head off and pull the knee pad down. It was, you know, oh man, I gotta do this to my friend, and he kicked his head off and beat him. But they, from then, those guys were telling, you know, that was some years ago. What was that? 15, 2015 or 16, I think the Cruiserweight Classic was.
Yeah.
2016.
You can always,
yeah, that was,
they can always come back around to Ciampa and Gargano, though.
Yeah, I like that one.
So, what are you expecting from the greatest wrestling match ever between Orton and Edge?
Actually, I like their actual match was 2004. I want to say Vengeance when they went for the Intercontinental title. It was the Intercontinental.
No, I mean
title
this
match,
one that's coming up. What are you expecting from it?
Oh, I thought you said. Man, I'm not expecting the greatest wrestling match of all time, like everybody.
I think that's what they're calling it, isn't it, Jason?
Yeah.
You said what?
Is that what they're calling it? The greatest match ever, something like that?
The greatest wrestling match of all time?
The tagline was saying the greatest wrestling match ever or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. You think it's going to be a cinematic thing? Or do you think it's going to be a regular match? You think they're going to, like, chain wrestle?
No, they're going to wrestle. They're going to wrestle. That's what's going to happen. They're going to wrestle. They're not going to do a cinematic match. They're going to make it a wrestling match. It's going to be good, though.
I mean, one of them, a card, I guess I understand it, given what they're dealing with, and they've done a good job with them. Did they ever bring up the fact that two men were thrown off Titan Tower? Did they ever, like, acknowledge that later?
Yeah, they did, and they knew that they fucked up because the camera showed where they were supposedly thrown off the person off of Titan Towers. It made it look like a second barricade.
The problem was there was a poof right after it was recorded like 2 weeks ahead of time. They could have made a long delay before the poof.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
But it was stupid because they know, everybody knows damn well because WWE was trying to insult our intelligence at then. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to throw somebody off of Titan Towers and they're going to survive.
No, two people. I mean, one person, you know, you make a big deal, but you just hurled two motherfuckers like you hurling bricks.
But that's good shit. It's good shit.
It's such good shit.
Damn it. I know what people are like, damn it. I'm Vincent K. McMahon, damn it.
That's how it goes. That is the Vincent McMahon way.
Jason, do you think Otis will win the championship?
I think I was about to get to that. I think Otis is going to – I was going to say, guys, I think Otis is going to win the money or the Universal title this Sunday.
I think Otis will win the championship.
I'm sorry. I hope not.
I don't.
The guy's a comedy act. He's not a champion. I'm sorry. If he's a champion, he is a United States champion at best. You know what I mean? He's I'm not.
He was better off in the tag team with Matt, whatever the name was. I can't even remember the name because they broke up. So you know, Heavy Machinery. There you go. Heavy Machinery.
Yeah, Heavy Machinery.
Now that they broke up, they don't know what they're gonna do with his tag team partner, and that's I don't know. I couldn't see it. And he got this push because Vince McMahon supposedly sees something in this guy, and
I think Tucker's a better wrestler.
Yeah, Tucker is a better wrestler. But my thing is that the reason why he got this push is because the whole fucking Mandy Rose thing. That's the only reason why he's getting this push, and that's the only reason why he's getting the Universal title.
And yeah, the guy, I mean, he's such a character. Like, that's not, real people aren't like that. He's kind of a goof to me. I don't know. The character annoys me. I don't like the character. I will boo him. If he would walk down a horror slam aisle, I'm booing that fucking goofball. You know what I mean?
I don't
care who he's fighting.
We're going to cut it short tonight a couple minutes. Greg, thanks for being on the line as always, brother. I'll talk to you in a little bit. Jason, thanks for being on the line. Martez, as always, it's been a pleasure. Stay tuned for the Gorilla Position with Steve Aarons and the Macho Ghost on Open Talk Radio. The Flash up next, guys. So thank you, guys. The next week's show is going to be a great one. As always, the Southwest Texas. Peace out, guys. God bless. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in.